The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Well, whether it's getting out of debt, working on a relationship, or maybe even going back to school, you know you only get one life. Well, what are you doing with yours? It's time to start living life on purpose. Pick up your copy of Seize the Day to learn how.
Be the first to read Joyce's new book, Seize the Day. Pre-order your copy today.
When we are giving in any way, shape, or form, whether it's a compliment, an offering, some time to somebody, when we're giving, I think we're more like God than at any other time in our life. For that moment, we're more like God. You know why? Because God is a giver. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. This scripture has been catching my attention a lot lately, and I'm actually feeling like I may bring this scripture up in a lot of my conferences this year. It simply says, let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit, which means long-suffering and patient spirit. The Lord is near. He is coming soon. Now, you know, the Apostle Paul and many of the other apostles, they talked a lot about Jesus is coming soon. And I particularly like this verse because he's saying, now he's saying, let's make sure that we're pressing in and living right. And so one of the things we need to really kind of shore up on is don't be selfish. Nobody needs that today, right? You're all good. Nobody here is selfish. This is for somebody who didn't come, but I'll preach it anyway. He says, let all men know and see your unselfishness. Be considerate. Be forbearing. And why? Because the Lord is near. He's coming soon. You see, I'm kind of the opinion, and I got this somewhere last year in my teaching. I became convinced that we need to talk more about the second coming of Christ. I do believe the Lord is coming soon. And, you know, you might say, well, you know, they believe that too, and look how long that's been. Well, I agree with that, but all I know is if they thought it was soon, then I need to really blow the trumpet, because my soon is sooner than their soon. And I feel that we have a responsibility to keep reminding people, hey, listen, it's not going to be that long, and we're going to stand before the Lord. And the Bible says in Romans 12:14, every man, every woman, every person, none left out, will stand before the Lord and give an account of their life. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't find that I am just naturally generous. I don't find generosity on the list in Galatians of the works of the flesh. One of the works of my flesh is not generosity. Matter of fact, thank God that He has changed me a great deal. But selfishness is so inherent in our flesh that if we don't guard against it, you know, the Bible says, guard yourselves. And so we have to guard against these things, and I believe that sometimes that requires taking a little inventory of your life and just maybe even saying something to yourself like, what have I done for anybody else in the last week? I'm going over here. You guys are not. Come on, we got to have a little encouragement. Amen? I mean, just to say to yourself once a week, I mean, if you would just put this into your week, put it on your calendar to once a week, just have a 5-minute meeting with yourself Do you ever think about having a meeting with yourself? I have meetings with myself all the time. We need to do that. And just ask yourself, what have I done for anybody else in the last 7 days? All right. All right, now. Isaiah 32:8. But the noble, open-hearted, and liberal man devises noble things, and he stands for what is noble, open-hearted, and generous. I actually want to read this again. This is such a powerful scripture. But the noble man, and you know, we probably don't even know what that word means. It's not a word that you even hear that much anymore. It means to have very high moral principles and ideals. It is a person who works for what is right and a person who is very virtuous. So the noble, open-hearted, liberal man devises noble things, and he stands for what is noble, open-hearted, and generous. He is a large-hearted person. Don't be small-souled, all shrunk up and just no room in your life for anybody but you. Okay, listen, be encouraged. When you leave here, you can go get a coffee. You can get a burger. You can have a snack. God will help you recover when I'm done with you today. But this is God's word for the day. Amen. Now, we should think about the beauty of that kind of a person. You know, there's a word that I wish we used in this country more often, and it's the word beautiful. Amen. When you go to Australia, everything, it's like beautiful. I mean, if you get a good meal, it's beautiful. If you hear a good song, it's beautiful. If somebody does something kind, it's beautiful. I love to hang out with Darlene Check. Don't get to as often as I used to, but I love to hang out with her because she just is, oh, it's beautiful. That's so beautiful. Well, that's beautiful. And you know what? Beauty is attractive. We're drawn to beauty. When I sit and think about things that I enjoy the most in my life, one of the things that I enjoy is just beautiful things. Beautiful scenery. A beautiful tree, a beautiful piece of furniture, anything. I just like beauty. And you know why we're like that? Because God loves beauty. And I think that he wants to look at us a little more often and say, beautiful. Amen? I think when you look at your life and say, you know what? I'm not going to put up with this out of myself. I haven't really done anything for anybody in the last couple of weeks. I'm going to get busy here and be a greater blessing. I believe God says, beautiful. That's beautiful. You know what? When we are giving in any way, shape, or form, whether it's a compliment, an offering, some time to somebody, when we're giving, I think we're more like God than at any other time in our life. For that moment, we're more like God. You know why? Because God is a giver. For God so loved the world that he gave, and he didn't just give what he had to give. He gave his best. Come on now. He gave his best. It is astounding what God gave us. I mean, my gosh, who could ever understand what he has given us and what he's done for us while you were still yet in sin? Didn't know him, didn't care to know him, didn't want to know him, were happy in your sin. He sent his only son to die for us. Wow. Who does that? Maybe for a really cool person, you might do a little something, but who does anything for the biggest rat you know? We don't do that. But God can teach us to do that. This is why he says, those really hard, hard things like love your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. And the Amplified Bible says, bless those who abuse you and misuse you. Pray for your enemies and bless them. And really, to be honest, it's not even, when you do that, you're not even really doing anything for them, because half the time they don't even care. But what you're doing, something for yourself. You're adding some beauty to your life. You no longer have to be this little, small-souled, shrunk-up person who just sits in your pitiful place and hates everybody. Well, you just don't know what I mean. All the promises of God are available to whosoever will. Acts 2:46. You know, we look back at the early church and think, man, we wish we had the power in the church today that they had then. Well, you read about the book of Acts and you're just like, what happened? Where'd all that power go? And day after day, they regularly assembled in the temple with united purpose, which means unity. And in their homes, they broke bread, including the Lord's Supper. They partook of their food with gladness and simplicity and generous hearts. You know what we see right there? Why they were powerful. That's a large part of why they were powerful. They were simple. They were grateful. They got along. And they were generous with one another. The Bible says that we are to be mindful. That means to sit down and actually think about what you might do for somebody else. Wouldn't that be a novel idea? You can do that when you have your meeting with yourself. Every single one of you knows somebody that you could do something for today. Somebody, one, two people out there like that. Everybody knows somebody that you could do something for today. Every one of you have a house full of stuff that you have not used in 10 years, and somebody else is desperate for it, but you're going to hang on to it just in case. Just in case you need it. Well, even if you did, you wouldn't know where it was. That's the way I am. I mean, I can't find it. The other day, my daughter was helping me clean some stuff out, and she said, well, you don't want to get rid of this, do you? And I said, yeah, I haven't used that in a long time. She said, well, you might need that. I said, if I did, I wouldn't know where it was. She says, no, you're right. You just send me out to get another one. It was all this stuff I bought one time when I had some kind of like a head chest thing, and I mean, I had every kind of salve and smell and rub on and, you know, that you could have. And I buy things in multiples. I want to make sure I don't, you know, run out. And so I'll get in there and I'll have, why do I have four tubes of A&D ointment? Oh yeah, that was from, you know. Oh, I'm going to try to stick to my message. Jehovah Jireh is one of the many names of God found in the Old Testament. And it means the God of barely get by. It means the God of more than enough. Or it means the God who provides. Or we might say the generous God. Everybody say God is generous. Ephesians 1, 7 and 8. In him we have redemption, deliverance, and salvation through his blood, the remission, the forgiveness of our offenses, shortcomings, and trespasses, in accordance with the riches and the generosity of his gracious favor. I am so glad that God doesn't just give me a little bit of mercy, but his mercy is new every day. Every day. You're never going to get up on any day and God say, whoops, you've used up all the mercy I had set aside for you. But we're like that with people sometimes, aren't we? It's like, listen, I'm not going around this mountain again with you. I forgave you for that last week. I'm not doing it again. Thank God that he's not stingy with his forgiveness, that he's not stingy with his help, that he's not stingy with his provision. God has not set aside a little tiny bit, barely enough for us to get by on. He has given us more than enough. And you know what he wants our response to be to that? That we would do more than enough, that we would be excellent people that go the extra mile. And we don't just do what we have to do, but we always want to do more than what we have to do. And you know what? I am just getting happier the more I talk about this. Honestly, I can feel my soul expanding. Oh, we are so off track when all we have room for in our lives is us and our problems and our deal and our wants and our needs. Get over yourself. Just get over it and say, God, what can I do for somebody else today? Be generous, of course, in giving financially. There's so many needy people in the world. Be generous in giving to the gospel. There's so many people that have yet to hear. But be generous in mercy. If you're going to give a tip at a restaurant, give a good one. That's what those people live on. Be generous in mercy, generous in forgiveness, generous in compliments. Little less finding fault. Yeah, this is better, yes, isn't it? A little more encouragement. My goodness, people, the world is just full of people that are ready to give up any minute. They don't need to be told what's wrong with them and how bad they are. There's a time for that, but boy, if you're going to ever correct anybody, mix it up with a whole lot of encouragement. It's a lot more palatable to swallow. Thank you. Thank you. The very end of Ephesians 1, 7 and 8, it says, in accordance with the riches and the generosity of his gracious favor, listen to this, which he lavished upon us. Woo-hoo. I like lavish. How many of you like lavish? I'm into lavish. I'm into overflow. In every kind of wisdom and understanding, practical insight and prudence. It's a beautiful thing, indeed, to be generous. You know, oh Lord, you're beautiful. You're so beautiful. And why do we say that? Because of all these things. We're not talking about what he looks like physically. We've never seen him physically. What we're talking about is his attributes, his character, the way he deals with us. And we are far too concerned about our outward image in the age that we live in today. How many people are on my Facebook? How many people are looking at my selfies today? I'm still trying to get over everybody taking pictures of themselves all day, sending them to everybody they know. I'm like, who gives a rip what you're eating and how you chew? I sure don't. You know, we just got to be careful that we don't get too carried away. Your worth and value is not in how many people are on your Facebook. You know what? Every once in a while, I'll hear how many people are on ours. I never go ask because, frankly, I don't need to know that. I need to minister the same if I got two people on it or 25 million people on it. You know why? Because God is interested in the individual. Amen? So just be careful. Guard yourself. Be wise not to go too far. And when I say don't be selfish, let me just make sure that I say this. I am not talking about not taking care of yourself. I'm not talking about not doing things for yourself. You need to take care of yourself. You need to spend money on yourself. You need to spend time on yourself. You need to do things that you like and things that you enjoy. But we don't need to just do nothing but that. See, I think if we don't take good care of ourselves, we'll break down and we won't have anything to even give to anybody else. So God wants us to be blessed, but we still have to guard against selfishness. If you don't think that a human being shows up on planet Earth with selfishness, you just watch when one child takes a toy away from another child. Mine! And we're still yelling that today. We just don't say it as loud as... Beautiful things are excellent, wonderful, and appealing, and they have drawing power. We're drawn to beauty. It touches our soul. I like to be around somebody that I feel touched my soul. Don't you? Don't you like to be with people that when you leave, you feel like they deposited something in your soul? Not that they just took and drained the life out of you, and you can't wait to get away from them. I'm sure you know a few people like that, right? You know, I made a decision, I don't know, maybe it's been 10 years ago now, that I was not going to be in any more one-sided relationships. I have no interest in hanging out with people who always want something from me and never bother to do anything back. Relationship is give and take. So I don't want stingy, small-souled friends. I want to be around people that I'm not drained when I get away from them and that I dread seeing them another time. I want to be around people that make a deposit that touch my soul because they're beautiful people. When we hear a beautiful story, see a beautiful piece of art, see the ocean, see the mountains, or an amazing landscape, often the only thing we can say is beautiful. Sometimes something is so awesome and amazing that there's just no other word besides that one word that will describe what it is. And you know what? I felt that way about the worship this morning. I did. I turned to somebody and I said, that's some of the best worship I've been in a long time. Beautiful. And everything that we do should be beautiful. Something that leaves a deposit. I don't want you just to come here. I don't want you to feel bad when you leave. I want to make a deposit in you. I want you to leave and say, man, I feel better. I feel encouraged. I feel edified. The word generous means liberal, lavish, magnanimous, munificent, free-handed, unselfish, and abundant. Let's look at Deuteronomy 15:11. I really like this scripture. All the way back in the beginning of the Bible. For the poor will never cease out of the land. Therefore, I command you, you shall open wide your hands to your brother, to the needy, to the poor in your land. When it's time for offering, do you peek in your wallet and grab the tiniest thing you see? Or do you open it wide and maybe get into some of that she money or he money you got hidden in those secret compartments? Come on, we all got some somewhere. Be magnanimous. Live large. Well, generosity isn't natural. And the more, let's put it like this, the less word that we have from the Bible, the less really right on anointed, spirit-led preaching we have from the pulpits, the more and more selfish the world becomes. That's why we must not, as ministers and teachers, tell people what they want to hear. We have to tell them what they need to hear. And hopefully what they need is what they want, but if they don't want it, that's what we got to feed them anyway. And if they don't want to stay and hear it, then that's not my responsibility. Our responsibility is to love people, to never give up on them, to pray for them, and to speak the truth in love. Amen. So, way back in Paul's day, when he wrote to Timothy, we find in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, the condition the world would be in the last days. For people will be lovers of self, utterly self-centered, lovers of money, aroused by an inordinate, greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant, contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. Well, I don't see anything on there that's missing today, do you? Now, come on, don't get depressed. That's not bad news. This is the era, the time, the year that God has chosen us to be alive in the earth. Come on, this is exciting. You're a believer in Christ. You came here today. You took off work. This is Friday morning. You came here today to be taught the Word of God. So, man, I'm going to go for it. And I'm going to say, this is the condition of the world, but it must not, it cannot, it dare not be our condition. And so we're going to encourage one another to be generous. You know, there's actually scriptures that tell us that we are to continually encourage one another to be generous-hearted. Come on, we don't need to sit at lunch with our friends and gossip and do nothing but talk about all of our problems. Why don't you have lunch with a few people and talk about how you could be a blessing to somebody else? Boy, that would be enjoyable, wouldn't it? As Christians, we must learn not to possess our possessions. Because really the truth is, nothing we have is truly ours. We are stewards. And there's great stories in the Bible, great scriptures in the Bible that tell us we are stewards and that the master is coming back to take an account of what we have been left with, to see what we did with it, and we will be rewarded accordingly. There's the payoff. Amen? Man, I believe Roy and Kathy are going to have a phenomenal payoff. 19 years up and down the road, ministering to prisoners, 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 prisoners. Amen. Most people in the world, I mean, you know, everybody knows what I'm doing. I'm on television. But most of the world doesn't even know what they're doing. But God knows. God knows. And see, if God has given you an assignment, the best thing in the world for you to do is just do your assignment and just keep it up and 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 guard yourself that you don't get small-souled and selfish, because the Lord is coming soon. You're going to hear this from me this year. I hope every time you turn the TV on, somewhere in there, you're going to hear the Lord is coming soon. I think we have to get ready, and I think that we have to get people ready. And so, see, this is the condition of the world, but this is not our condition. So what are we? We are lights. Come on, this is so simple. The world is full of darkness. We are light. He is the light of the world, and we now represent him. So we go out, and all we got to do is just shine. All we got to do is just get the dirt off of our bulb and turn the lights on. Come on, if you got a three-way bulb, get it off of dim and get it cranked up to the highest level. Amen. I don't want any more of that mood lighting in my life. My gosh, the hotel I'm in this time, you can't even hardly see yourself. I'm like, everything looks yellow. I look yellow. It's like, man, I like light. Sometimes when I go out and do a conference like this and I'm in a hotel like that, I mean, I know why they don't do it. They don't want their bills to be high, but I would like to see myself when I'm in the hotel. I mean, honestly, if I'm not careful, by the time I get out of there, I'm almost starting to feel a little bit oppressed. We need light. The world would not feel so oppressed if we would get out there and shine. I felt like the Lord showed me one time. I felt like he said this, I've got my people everywhere. They're in factories, they're in schools, they're in colleges, they're in government. They're in the marketplace. They're in the grocery stores. We're everywhere. But nobody knows it. We're everywhere, but nobody knows it because we're hiding.
Be a reflection. Yes.
Come on, we need to turn the light up. And the easiest way to do that is just start being kind to people. Don't be part of the gossip. Don't be part of the strife. Don't be part of the backbiting. Don't sit and complain all the time when you're so blessed. My gosh. Oh, I'm getting so excited I may have to jump off the platform. We must learn not to possess our possessions, but to live with a wide open hand and an open heart. I want to be a beautiful person, not just in the way I look, but inwardly. I want to have a beautiful heart and a beautiful soul. And when I get around people, I want them to feel like I left a deposit. Now, thank you. You know, selfishness seems normal to the unregenerate man. So we really kind of sort of can't blame people that are not saved. They just don't even have a frame of reference for anything else. I mean, they are just going to be selfish because that's just all they know. But one of the things we can do is teach people by example. I'm telling you, I have learned a lot from Dave by him just being an example. I grew up in a home where I didn't have a good example. I didn't know what peace was. I mean, I literally did not know what it felt like. Because everything around me all the time was anger and turmoil and strife, and I didn't know what it was. And I kind of thought, what is wrong with you, when I married Dave? I mean, I wanted to fight with him. I wanted to argue. That was what I fed on. That was what I lived on. Anyway, I better not get off in that ditch, but actually, he was consistent. Everybody say consistent.
Consistent.
So now, we got to park there for just a minute. you can't, if you're going to be a witness out in the world, you got to be consistent. Same way, every day, 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 every day. The greatest compliment that anybody can ever give you is, this person is a great person and they are the same way every time you get around them. The same way. Can I tell you something? You never really know anybody until you see them in every kind of a situation. That's why you don't necessarily know who you're marrying, because you've had 12 dates. Date them long enough to go through the fire a little bit with them. Come on. Now, Dave and I did not do that. We had, what, five dates and got married. But in my case, I had so much wrong with me that God had to just do it quick, or Dave would have never. And our situation really was divine. I mean, it truly was a royal setup from God. You know, you just don't find a man that's great enough to be married to a woman like me and let me do what I'm doing and be happy every single day of his life. And Dave is so loving and so good to me. And he's actually gotten better as he's gotten older. I mean, ladies, Dave does dishes. He does laundry. He steams my clothes if I need him to. He fills up the humidifier. And he plays golf. Lots and lots and lots of golf. And he watches baseball and basketball and tennis and golf and what else? I don't know. Football, bowling, I mean, anything. If it bounces or rolls, Dave's in. And for the first, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 years when we were married, I just, you know, he didn't wash dishes then. He didn't do laundry. Come on, you can't nag somebody into being what you want them to be. Okay, moving on. Don't have time for any more husband stories. We need to get out in the world and be an example. We need to fight greed. Let's talk for a minute about the ugliness of greed and stinginess. Yeah. Certainly not beautiful. Proverbs 28:25. He who is of a greedy spirit stirs up strife. But he who puts his trust in the Lord shall be enriched and blessed. The greedy man has no peace and he's never satisfied. Luke 12:15 says, guard yourselves and keep free from all covetousness, the immoderate desire for wealth, and the greedy longings to have more. For a man's life does not consist in and is not derived from possessing overflowing abundance, or that which is over and above his needs. One of the ways to guard ourselves from greed is to be aggressively generous. This is so important that Paul even told the Corinthians that they were not to associate with greedy, grasping people. He said, don't spend a lot of time with them. You know why? What's on other people gets off on us. 1 Corinthians 5:9-11. I wrote you in my previous letter not to associate closely and habitually. You can't avoid all stingy people, but you don't have to, you know, let them become your best buddy. with unchaste, impure people, not meaning, of course, that you must altogether shun the immoral people of the world, are the greedy graspers and the cheats, are the thieves and the idolaters, since otherwise you would just need to get out of the world and human society altogether. I think Paul had a revelation. In 1 Timothy 3:8 and Titus 1:7, Paul said that those who are in leadership in the church must not be greedy. Wow. It's sad indeed when we see someone in ministry blessed to the point where then they start misusing the money that's been put into their hands to preach the gospel with, and nothing does more damage to the attitude of the world toward ministry and the body of Christ than those kinds of examples. That's why it's very important that it is men and women of character that are put in leadership and that they have accountability. When people have no accountability, I don't know that there are very many people that even have the capability of staying on the right track if they have zero accountability in their life. If there's no other reason to be part of a local church, it's that reason, because maybe if you don't come for 6 months, somebody will miss you and come looking for you to find out if you've fallen off the rails. Go to a church where people care about you. Don't go somewhere where you can be missing for 9 months and nobody even calls to see if you're dead or alive. Because it's not about just, you know, doing your clock in at church on Sunday and so you think you get your check mark in heaven. It's about being accountable to some people. That's one of the good reasons to get involved in something, in serving, because then you kind of got to show up. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but I've never missed one of my meetings. In 40 years. There's only been two times in 40 years that I was unable to go, and I sent somebody good to take my place, and both of those times I was so sick I couldn't hardly move. I don't get up and say, well, do I want to go today? Don't I want to go today? And let me tell you something. I feel accountable to you. Our ministry has a board. My husband would get in my face in a flat second, and so would any one of my four grown children if I did not maintain the standard that I preach. My son will say once in a while, sounds a little proud to me there. I think I heard you preach on patience last week. We need accountability. Don't just surround yourself with yes people that are either going to tell you, or you're either going to tell them what they want to hear, or you're going to be out of their lives. That's not a relationship. Amen? The selfish person is small-souled. Okay, one of my favorite scriptures, Mark 8:34. And Jesus called to him the throng with his disciples and said to them, if anyone intends to come after me, let him deny himself, forget himself, ignore himself, disown and lose sight of himself and all of his own interests, and take up his cross and follow me. Well, that clap started kind of low. You know, I mean, that's a hard scripture. You mean you don't want me to care anything about myself at all? And you know, the first thing that comes up in is, well, what about me? Who's going to take care of me? Who's going to do anything for me? Well, here's the thing. If we do it God's way, then He will take care of us. So here's what I want to tell you today. If you have spent your life trying to take care of yourself, you have no clue what God could do for you if you would have a big retirement party, retire from self-care and put yourself in His hands and give your life to being a blessing everywhere you go. Come on, I dare you. take a step of faith and say, God, I am finished serving myself, doting on myself, being frustrated every time self doesn't get what it wants. If you can't take care of me, then who can? You know what I told God? I don't, you know, if you're a little religious, this might bother you, but I'll just take a chance. I said, okay, God, if I'm going to be your woman and this is what I'm going to spend my life doing, then I want to be a kept woman. You take care of me. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the secret petitions and desires of your heart. Chase God, and He will have things chase you. Generosity releases such good things in our own life. Wow. All scriptures here. Acts 10, 1 through 4. Now living at Caesarea, there was a man whose name was Cornelius, a centurion, a captain of what was known as the Italian regiment. Next verse, please. A devout man who venerated God and treated him with reverential obedience, as did all of his household. Now watch this. And he gave much alms to the people, and he prayed continually to God. So this man was a prayer and a giver. I'm going to tell you what, when you learn how to be a prayer and a giver, the devil might as well get out of the way. A prayer and a giver. I want to bring you back to simple. Let's see, what have I done to help anybody else in the last week? When was the last time I did something for somebody else? Have I ever done anything for anybody else? When God sees my life, is He saying, beautiful? Absolutely beautiful. Amen. You know what? I want God to be proud of us. Of every single one of us who call ourselves Christians, I want God to be proud of us. Amen. Well, I think we all need to guard against selfishness. And to be honest, one of the best ways to do that is to purposely be as generous as you can in any way that you can. Live with an open hand and an open heart, because it's really beautiful when you do that. Today we're offering you a book called Living Beyond Your Feelings. Now, I can't imagine anybody that wouldn't need to do that, because our feelings can definitely get in our way a lot of times. And so there's a whole area of feelings that we need to talk about, and how you don't have to deny that you have them, but you don't have to let them make your decisions. And I really want to encourage you to get this. This is a grow-up book, and I think if you're interested in spiritual maturity, you're going to really like it. And then also a single CD called Winning the Waiting Game. Well, I'll tell you one time that our emotions will act up as we're having to wait on something, and it's not coming through as fast as we'd like it to. So let the Word of God help you have the victory that you desire to have. And thank you so much for being with us today. God bless you, and have a great day.